A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday, at the beginning of this 15th chapter of St. John's Gospel, Jesus used the image of the vine and the branches. He said that there was a twofold dynamism there. If he remains in us and we remain in him, he wishes to remain in us, but we have to respond by making the choice to remain in him, which is not the default pattern. As long as we don't sin, we remain. No, it's an active loving of him in response. And today, Jesus in that same chapter builds on it, that union between branch and vine is a union ultimately of love. It's a love that blows any earthly love away. As the Father loves me, so I also love you. That's the first thing Jesus says. And the Father loved the Son completely. He gave everything over for the Son. There was no sentimentalism there. It wasn't just feelings of affection for the Son. All that the Father was, he gave to the Son. And Jesus is saying, just as the Father loves me with that totality, so I also love you. This is the foundation of Christian life, of Christian identity, of the Christian faith, Christ's total self-giving love. But then there's a reciprocation. There's our part. That entire gift of love has been given. But then Jesus says, remain in my love. And he tells us precisely the way. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his. Why is keeping the commandments? Sometimes if we have a faulty idea of what the commandments are, we can think that it's just an extrinsic relationship to the love of God. That, okay, we prove our love by keeping the commandments. But the commandments that Jesus has given to us are precisely to train us how to love God with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength, and to love others as he has loved us first. When we break any of the commandments, we're not living in that love of God or that love of neighbor, because every rupture of those commandments is a rupture of that love. So that leads to a real fruit. When we're remaining in the Lord's love, when we're receiving it and reciprocating it, then the natural outgrowth is a real joy. You can always tell those who get this central aspect of the Christian life and those who don't. I've had the privilege many times to preach retreats in convents of women religious, as well as to do retreats for seminarians and priests. And it's an oversimplification, but I always say the sisters in that house, or the priests in that presbyterate, or the seminarians in that seminary, break down into two main categories: those who get it and those who don't. Those who don't get it might be perfect in the observation of a law, perfect in the observation of the rule, perfect in the observation of the expectations of the seminary or the presbyterate. But if they don't get that their whole vocation is about love, then it shows right off the bat, because they live dutifully, but they don't live like that person who knows he or she is loved and a person who loves in return. It's the same way with Catholics. Many of us live out our faith dutifully. We might not transgress one small precept, but that's not enough. When we recognize that we're loved and that the whole Christian life is to share that love with others, the attitude totally changes, and that's where Christ's joy comes. I've told you this so that my joy might be in you, and your joy might be complete. When we're living this pathway of Christian love, then joy flows naturally. Today, we celebrate the feast of St. Philip Neri, one of the greatest saints who's ever lived, and I think one of the most important saints for our own day. As Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict have both been clamoring for a new evangelization. If we wish to see what the new evangelization looks like, we don't have to look any further than St. Philip Neri. St. Philip Neri came from Florence to Rome as a 20-year-old. Rome was devastated. It had been sacked, destroyed. People had lost their faith. The church was basically corrupt. The whole College of Cardinals had a whole bunch of people who bought their way into office rather than earned it, in a sense, by a life of piety. It was a situation crying out for saints, and St. Philip Neri was that saint who brought Rome almost single-handedly back to the true essence of the Christian faith. And it fundamentally came because he got the love of the faith and he got the joy that flows from the love. He would just go up to people on street corners, smile at them, tear down their ear a little bit or scratch their beard or hit them along the head and said, "When are you going to start doing good, my friend?" He would start to ask them to accompany him on joyful pilgrimages. Pilgrimage down to the catacombs, to the tombs. And while they were there, he might talk to them a little bit about the faith or sing some famous Italian Christian songs with them. Would start to open them up to the fact that the faith was not just a thing of duties, but there was a noble adventure to the faith. Eventually, after a mystical experience in which the Holy Spirit came into him in visible form while he was praying there at the catacombs, he was ordained a priest. He recognized that Rome was to be his Indies. Rome was to be his missionary territory. And he started to try to help people to live the faith with joy, to live this love of God and live this love of others. Live the love of God. He started the 40 hours devotions. He started prayer sessions in which they'd reflect on the truths of the faith. Things where they'd just get together and praise the Lord, where it'd bring in a few hired singers who would be able to sing very beautifully and teach them how to sing and put their whole heart into what they were doing. Then in terms of the love of others, he would go with them to the hospitals to help out. There weren't the whole nursing corps that we would have today. There'd be the doctors, but often nobody to help the doctors, nobody to change bedpans, nobody to do the dirty work. And so out of love, Philip and the young adventurous sorts that he surrounded himself with started to do all of this work themselves. They started to go on out and evangelize in those areas where the kids were totally lost. Little by little, by living the faith with joy and love, they started to reteach all those who had thought they knew what the Catholic faith was and rejected it because they thought it was lived by those corrupt prelates that they had seen around, and recognized that the true faith was lived by Philip and those who had grasped this central message. Today, as we come forward to this Mass and this feast of St. Philip Neri, we too need to learn how to live our faith based on love, with the joy that flows from the faith. Let us ask his intercession that just as he, through remaining in Christ's love, re-evangelized Rome in the 16th century, so we, living in that same love, may re-evangelize New Bedford in the 21st.